Father, thank you for being able to be here tonight. We ask you that you will speak through these words and you will help us follow in Christ. Amen.
Right, in my bag here, I haven't actually got a lot, but if I was going to put something in it that was really special to me, I've got the car keys because I can't go very far without that. I've got my Bible, which I need, and I haven't managed to put some other things in it which really are very important to me. But I have put, I'm going to name drop here, a birthday card from the bishop. I'm in a foot mask now, don't need that. I've got a very special dress and my jewellery box and just a few odds and bits and bobs which really are very, very important to me. But I was reading this the other day and it said that I've got to give everything up to follow Jesus. And I was thinking, in my bag, you know, there's some things that I really don't want to give up. I mean, how am I going to go to work if I can't have my car? And how can I take Emily out anywhere if I haven't got my car? Because she gets a bit bored if we have to walk everywhere. And I haven't got the energy to walk anywhere at the moment. So I need my keys and my jewellery box. I couldn't do without my jewellery box. I love my jewellery box and all my nice things that I've got. Nada. I'll just leave them inside my bag for now. Are they important to me? Are things like this important to you? What have you got, maybe in your pocket, or in your coat, or in the car, or somewhere hidden away at home? Something so special that you don't want to give it up. Jesus calls us to put things down and to leave things. Can we give them up? Can we do this? It's really hard, isn't it? And you know, sometimes when we go home and we shut the door, we can say, actually, I can give up anything. I can give up everything. And I can do what Jesus wants me to do. But we don't actually do it. Sometimes we sit down and we think, we'll hide it. And if people don't know about it, then it doesn't matter. Are we kind to our neighbours? Now, I used to have a neighbour a long time ago who was absolutely wonderful. Loved my neighbour to bits. She was the best neighbour on this side. And then I had another neighbour on this side who was an absolute pain in the bum. He was horrendous. Dreadful. And I asked a prayer for him because he was really so bad. He called the police about me. I mean, I'm perfect. But he called the police about me because apparently I'd looked in his window as I walked past. I mean, I'm just perfect. But do you know, there was nothing I could do about loving my neighbour. Sorry, we've had quite a few bad experiences with this particular neighbour. But things are sorted now. And I tried ever so hard to be nice and to be a Christian and to show him God's love. And there was nothing at all that I could ever do to make things right. And so one day, last year, I gave him a curry. And things changed. He's now my best mate. He gave me a hug the other day. Quite shocked. But you know, when we go inside our door, and we've said hi to our neighbours, and we've helped them out a little bit, you know, sometimes carried the shopping for them, or done something like that, and the door's closed, does it really matter what we say? Because they don't know what we're talking about them, do they? Nah. But you know, Jesus knows everything that we do behind closed doors. We do our best for those in need, don't we? How many of you have bought fair trade stuff this week? Well done, Emma. Well done, Scott. Well done, Meg. Well done. A few others. Now, I must admit, I don't always buy fair trade stuff because I'm a bit poor. And sometimes it matters more to me what's in my pocket and what's in my purse than what's in the grower's purse. So I don't always buy fair trade stuff. But I always am kind to people. I always do lots and lots of things behind the scenes that nobody knows about. I mean, if I wasn't here, well, I don't know who'd help to run the church, because I do most things, of course. And when I go to work at Rotties, if I don't go to work, well, the place just shut. Can't manage without me. You know, I do everything very quietly and behind the scenes, and nobody always knows about how super I am, really. And what a fantastic... Lindsay, you can stop laughing. And what a fantastic person I really am. Not everybody knows this, but Jesus knows. So that's all that's important. Does anyone think I've got a big head? I can see some people laughing here. How much is it going to cost me to follow Jesus? Am I going to have to stop being such a super person and just kind of fade into the background? Hello. I read a story of a young man who went to work with a lady who we've all heard of, and he was amazed. Every time he went to Mass, he looked down and he saw her feet. And her feet were all screwed up and really, really deformed. And every day she went out in the markets, and every day she went and she worked with the poor, she worked with the sick, and her feet were all screwed up. And he didn't want to ask, why? What's the matter with your feet? Until one day somebody said to him, have you seen her feet? And he said, I have. What's the matter with them? And the lady that we're talking about is Mother Teresa. And they used to be given hundreds of pairs of shoes for the work that they did in Calcutta. And she used to go through the shoes and pick out the worst ones for her, because she didn't want anybody else to have bad feet. She never told anybody what she was doing. She did it quietly. She prayerfully did what she knew was the best for other people. How many of you have said hello to the lady outside Sainsbury's who's selling the big issue? How many people sometimes see her and think, and go past very quick? Because actually you haven't got a lot of money in your purse and you know that you've got to get something. How many of you actually bought her a cup of coffee? Or just given her some money because you know a little bit of her background? You know a little bit about her story, about her children in Manchester and her sister? How many of us have stopped to talk to her and to show the love of Jesus to her? There's a gentleman who, Dan will know probably what his name is, who's walked around with a cross on his back, walked all over England and tested memory now, Dan. Anyway, this man decided to pick up his cross and to follow Jesus. And he literally walked the length and breadth of Britain, didn't he? He's gone across America and everywhere, hasn't he? With the cross on his back. I can't walk anywhere. I can't walk very far at all at the moment. But I couldn't walk anywhere with a cross on my back. If we are to give up everything to follow Jesus, lost my paper. If we are to give up everything to follow Jesus, what does it mean to us? How about you? Is discipleship working for you? Do we even know what discipleship is? Do we know how to follow Jesus? Do we know how to put ourselves on the back burner and leave it behind? Does that mean that I can't be me? Does that mean that I can't drop names like the bishop sending me a birthday card? Does it mean I can't have some nice jewellery? Does it mean that I can't read the books that I want to read? No, it doesn't. I am still me, and God loves me for who I am. But he wants me to show his love through me, because he's not actually here anymore. He's asked me and you to follow him and to do something really, really special. It's not always the big things in life. You can't all be as perfect as me. You can't all do everything that I have to do, fortunately. You sometimes think, is it worth it? Is it really worth following Jesus? You know, the things that are on this earth are gone very, very quickly. We have an eternity to spend with God and with Christ. We have an eternity to spend together worshipping God. Jesus is the only thing that gives us hope in the midst of a broken world. And it's what causes us to love. We see Isaac, we see Isla, we see Holly and Natasha. We know about little babies that are coming. And you all love little babies. There's something, isn't there, about a baby, whether it's a puppy, a kitten, whatever, that something really special, and it causes people to think, oh, aren't they lovely? There is something so special that causes us to love, and that love is the love of God. If for just a moment we can forget about self, forget about who we are and what we like doing, we catch a true glimpse of God's kingdom, if it's only just for a moment. Do you remember back, a long time ago now, as far as Christmas? And that sense of awe and wonderment when we had the manger here. And we knew that many, many, many years ago, Jesus had come as a baby, because he loved us so much. And sometimes, just for a second, you get the enormity of that love. So think back to Christmas, and then think forward to Easter. And think of the agonies that Jesus went through. And he didn't just do it for me. He didn't just do it for each one of us. He did it for everybody. But the person that he loved most was me, was Lindsay, was Becky, Emma, Aaron. He loved every single one of us so much that if there'd only been one person, then Jesus would still have come and still have died. Can I give up me? I can't, but he can. We need to learn to love as Jesus first loved us. The greatest gift that we can ever, ever have is Easter, when Jesus gave up his life and he called us to follow him. That's all we need to do, to follow. He hasn't asked us to carry a cross. He carried the cross for us. He left everything, not just a little bag of tricks like I've got here, But he left heaven. He left the glories of heaven, the love of the Father, the adoration of the angels, and he came because he loved each one of us. Can we learn to follow the cross? Can we learn to follow in his footsteps and remember his sacrifice, a true and selfless love?